Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. Again, our epistle reading today from the letter to the Hebrews in the third chapter. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he, God, swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is God's word. Please be seated. Yesterday we visited our daughter and her husband in St. Joseph, and we took the dog out for a walk down to Lake Michigan, out to the Port Huron, just north of St. Joe there, the port out there, watched a big ship come in off the lake. And then walking back, I had the dog on a leash and was not paying much attention. All of a sudden, I just got this jerk on the leash, and she just about pulled me right over, and there was a squirrel. She had seen a squirrel. And of course, that reminded me immediately, maybe it reminds you, of a movie that I once saw, a movie called Up. You ever seen it? Who's seen the movie Up? Some of you? Any of you? Some of you? Okay. Alrighty. Because that's a running gag in this movie, Up. It's this, these dogs will, they're cartoon dogs, they will stop mid-sentence, they'll stop whatever it is they're doing, they'll pick up their heads and say, squirrel! And all the other dogs will stop whatever it is they're doing, and for a moment they pick up their heads and they freeze in hopes of seeing that squirrel, the squirrel that's never really there as it turns out. But it's a great running gag to see these dogs that are so easily distracted by the prospect of a nearby squirrel. And I think in the end of the movie, it's even that characteristic of dogs that they are so easily distracted by something like a squirrel that foils the plot and the goal of the villain of that story. But it is no gag when we are the ones who are distracted from the goal of our faith. Maybe you picked up on some of that in our scripture readings today. In the Old Testament lesson, the people of God had become so distracted by their desire for personal gain, power, wealth, all that the world has to offer, that they completely forgot about God. They forgot what it means to live as a child of God. And they started taking bribes and perverting justice in the gates, that is, in the court, so that they could extort more money from the poor. And when the government watchdog came along and tried to call them to the carpet for it, they wouldn't listen to them. And then in the gospel reading, there's this man who is so distracted by his great wealth and his riches that he cannot let go of them, even if it means that he's going to forfeit eternal life and happiness. And then we come to our epistle reading, and the author brings to our recollection an incident in the Old Testament that he refers to as the rebellion. And because the author had just quoted Psalm 95 a little bit earlier in the chapter with its reference to Meribah and Massah, we know that the rebellion he's referring to is an incident recorded in Exodus chapter 17. The Israelites had just been saved mightily by God from their slavery in Egypt. God had given them freedom. He'd given them everything they had been praying for under the leadership of Moses. And then they get out to the wilderness and they start grumbling against God and against God's servant Moses. We don't have enough water. Complaining that they had been brought out into this wilderness to be killed of thirst. And their desire for earthly water distracted them from the mighty thing that God was doing for them and would continue to do for them, to the point that they even questioned whether God was still with them. And because of this and many other rebellious acts, including not going into the promised land when they were told to go, because of all of that, God swore in verse 18 of our text that these people, these rebellious Israelites, would not enter into his rest in the promised land. And so because of unbelief, because of hearts hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, because of being distracted by other things, that entire generation of Israelites who was saved out of Egypt were not permitted to enter the promised land. But they fell short of that goal, and they died in the wilderness, every last one of them. It would be their children, not they, who entered God's rest in the promised land. You know, sometimes Christians wonder why it's important to know Old Testament history. Why do we spend all the time in Sunday school teaching our students about the Israelites? Why do we need to know about them being saved out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses? Why do we have to learn about the 10 plagues and the Passover and the parting of the Red Sea and the manna that came down from heaven and the water from the rock and the bronze serpent and the golden calf and Joshua and his conquest of the promised land? Is it to learn all about the great faith of the Israelites so that we might be inspired by their example and emulate them? Hardly. But it's more what St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, these things took place. He's talking about all these things in the Old Testament. These things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. You see, we need the Old Testament Israelites so that we can see in them a reflection of ourselves and be warned against making the same mistakes that they made. What do they say? If you don't know your history, you are doomed to repeat it. And the story of the Israelites for us is a cautionary tale that warns us to be careful so that we don't forfeit the promised land like they did by becoming distracted in this wilderness life, by becoming hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's why verse 12 of Hebrews 3 says, take care. Take care, lest there be in any of you an evil heart and an unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. It's like a father who's telling his graduating son, you know, son, you have been given every opportunity in life. Don't blow it now. Take care that you don't blow it. And that's one of the reasons why we need the Old Testament. It's so important to us. Because it teaches us by the mistakes of Israel not to blow it. We have been given so much in Christ. Don't blow it. Don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so the author of Hebrews says to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hold firm. Hold firm. Remember, the work of the Holy Spirit is not only to call you by the gospel to believe in Jesus who saves you, but his work is also to keep you in that faith all the way through this wilderness life, all the way to the promised land when you are safely home with your Lord. What do we say in the... We just said it this morning, the third article. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, even as he keeps the whole Christian church with Jesus Christ. The Israelites were saved, but then they fell away in unbelief with hardened hearts, and they forfeited their right to enter into God's rest in the promised land. And we don't want that to happen to us. We don't want that to happen to each other. The Holy Spirit certainly doesn't want that to happen. Because unlike cartoon dogs that are easily distracted by squirrels, it is not at all funny when we become distracted in this world from the greater and the higher things of God, and we lose our way and we forfeit God's rest in the promised land. So the encouragement of the scriptures, the encouragement of our text is hold firm. Don't be distracted by the things of this earth. Don't allow your heart to become hardened by sin. Don't blow it. Why? Because he says you have your share in Christ. You share in Christ. And you don't want to lose what you have in Him. Now, in the Old Testament, the people shared in Moses. Anything that Moses had been given by God was also given to the Israelites to share. God gave Moses that decree of deliverance, and Israel shared in that deliverance. God gave Moses the law, and Israel shared in the law. God gave Moses the system of sacrifices, and Israel shared in that sacrificial system. God had Moses bring water forth from the rock, and all of Israel shared in drinking from the water that flowed out. Anything that Moses was given by God was also given to the Israelites to share. And had Moses and Israel stayed faithful, they also would have shared together in that life in the promised land. But Moses struck the rock twice, as I already said, instead of just speaking to it. And then Israel, of course, rebelled in just about every way you can possibly rebel against God. And so we learn that Moses was no savior, nor is the law of Moses a savior. If all that we have to share in is Moses and the law, then we're also going to fall short of the promised land and we'll die in this wilderness. But again, the Holy Spirit says, you share in Christ. Not in Moses, you share in Christ. Everything that God the Father has given to His Son is yours to share. Remember, you have this baptismal link to Christ. You are connected to Him. And so, Christ is the righteousness of God. So, you share in His righteousness, a righteousness that covers all your rebellion. Christ lived the perfect life of obedience, and now you share in that obedience. And you are reckoned as perfect in the sight of God, as though you had lived the life that He lived. Christ died and rose again so that you share in His death and resurrection. Paul says in Romans 6, we were crucified with Christ so that this body of sin might be done away with. And we believe that we will also live with Him. Christ ascended to heaven, and you share in His ascension as you one day are going to go where He has gone. Christ received from the Father the inheritance of glory, and that's yours to share too. As Paul says in Romans 8, you are joint heirs with Christ. You share in Christ, not in Moses, who fell short of the promised land, but you share in Christ, who leads His church all the way home to that blessed rest in the promised land. So what? And his seminary professor always told us that when you're preparing a sermon, you always need to ask the question, so what? All right, so you've preached the Word of God. So what? What difference does it make? Well, I think on that score, this text really pretty much preaches itself. So what, you ask? What difference does any of this make that we share in Jesus Christ? Oh, what a difference it makes. First of all, because you share in Christ, take care of yourself. Take care that you do not fall away from God like those unbelieving Israelites. Take care. That means do something. You know, no, we don't do anything to save ourselves. Christ did the saving. He finished that job. But we do some things to keep our faith strong. Namely, we make sure that we are spending enough time with our God in His Word and in His church and at His table because these are the places where he has promised to nurture your faith and to sustain your faith so that we can hold our original confidence firm to the end. How many times have we all seen people slip away because they started missing for a while? They didn't come to be with God's people. They stopped coming to the table. They stopped coming to God's house. And it got harder and harder for them to return until finally they were gone completely. Take care. Take care that that doesn't happen to you, because you share in Christ. And you don't want to lose what he's given you. And then the second thing is, because you share in Jesus Christ, take care of each other. The author of Hebrews says, exhort one another, encourage one another, as long as it is called today, which of course is always. So it's your job every day to encourage one another so that your fellow Christians also don't fall away or get caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. And this is something I think a lot of church members have a hard time with. And so they leave it up to the pastor or the elders or the professionals to deal with those who are slipping away or who are caught up in sin. But notice the author does not say, let the pastors encourage. It says, you encourage as long as it is today. Take care. Take care of one another. You do the encouraging. Don't wait for someone else to do it. But as one who shares in Christ, you want your brothers and sisters to have their share in the promised land too, don't you? You don't want them to fall short of the promised land and to die in this wilderness. So take care. Take care. Care that it doesn't happen to your brothers and sisters. And so hold firm, dear Christians. Hold firm, for you share in Christ. Hold firm. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.